This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. David Timmons, who served as Port Townsend's first and only city manager, retired last month after an unprecedented 20-year stint in a job that burns most people out in five. On this week's Compass, Timmons visits KPTZ Studios for a live chat with reporter Charlie Bermant about how Port Townsend has evolved, his role in that evolution, and what he expects for the town's future. So now, let's go inside the Compass.
Good afternoon. I'm Charlie Bermant, KPTZ News. Here for a special live Compass show, I have former Port Townsend City Manager David Timmons here to chat. Say hello, David.
Hello.
Okay.
I'm glad to be former.
Yeah. Okay. So what about the process, really, about your replacement? It seemed to go on longer than the whole Star Wars series.
No, I don't think it did. I think it's a long process. You got to vet through a lot of different candidates and a lot of issues to get it started. So I think that was handled pretty well overall.
But it's like you were going to leave and then you stayed a bit longer. Was that just because you saw stuff that needed to be done? Or?
Well, I was really underestimating all the transitions that were going to have to occur. So we talked about an additional 6 months to kind of help with those additional...
Trentons.
Okay, sorry, just had some...
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, we missed the first part because they moved the button.
Oh, they moved it? Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, it seems like you were going to retire a couple years ago and then didn't, or...
Well, no, I gave him notice, well in advance, because we had gone through succession planning at the city and began to notice that, there was a number of people that are queuing up that were going to be eligible to basically retire. And I was included in that group. And so what I talked to the council about was to make it work is we entered into a 3-year contract that gave them a date certain that I would commit to and that they could plan for. And then as that date got closer and closer, that would have been December of 2018, became obvious that there were still too many issues that were pending that needed to be queued up and identified and kind of a path set forward that would help guide the transition to the new manager. And then that would take about a 6-month extension to kind of have it mapped out to work pretty well.
But you chose, I guess, June 30th to retire, and you weren't really sure that the new guy was going to be in place. So there was going to be a period of transition.
Yeah. Well, I think, Nora Mitchell, our finance director, is an excellent administrator as well, and I think that she's, the city's in good hands with her at this point.
Okay, and so what are you doing now? I mean, for the last 2 weeks, what have you been?
Fighting wild roses on my property and just working around getting things caught up, trying to handle the mental adjustment that I'm driving around town and I see something and I think, wait a minute, it's not my problem. When I hear the sirens, I don't, my phone's not going to ring. Trying to plan around a weekend where everything has to get done on weekends because you got to work during the week. So it's mentally adjusting.
So have you found anything to do, any new vocation or any new, I hate the word hobbies, but that's the word they use.
Well, I got appointed by ICMA as a senior advisor.
What's ICMA?
It's the International City Management Association. Mm-hmm. It's a membership group of about 12,000 members from around the world. And there's about 90 senior advisors throughout the country that provide support, counseling, efforts, to those people who are in the profession who are coming up or actually in as a manager. And so I've got with a couple of other retired managers who have the North Puget Sound region. So
it sounds like city managers, they're not operating in a vacuum. They're all talking to each other and trying to do things better individually and collectively?
Yeah, through the association, you know, it's a membership base that's committed to, you know, continuing education. One of the other things is it also abides by a self-policing code of ethics that you have to accept. And the association actually will conduct ethics investigations of members that have run afoul or gotten in trouble.
What does a city manager do to run afoul of that? What would be some of the crimes?
Some things have been like, you know, misuse of credit cards, you know, unprofessional conduct by not maintaining boundaries between elected officials or staff. Things that, you know, you can not being forthright or honest with your elected officials in regards to choices and options. You know, you can run into a whole this bevy of different kind of ethics questions.
And how would a so I'm gonna say, like, right up front, you were never the subject of anything like that, right? Or were you?
Not in my career.
Not in your career.
No. So no, we had the one outrageous, you know, ethics complaint that was filed at the city.
Oh, the upstage.
Yeah, one? Yeah, which was totally baseless. But other than that, no. You know, I've never really had any kind of grievance filed against me at the association level.
So where does those grievances come from? Is someone on the council or some citizen files a grievance or that kind of thing?
Yeah, it can do that, or it can come from another member that's seeing that happening. Mm-hmm. And so I know I filed a complaint once against another member who actually served on a hiring panel, and then while he was in service on the hiring panel, he basically put himself into the position with the hiring panel.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago there was a retirement thing at the library, quite a huge love fest. And how did that all make you feel?
Oh, happy but sad in some ways. You know, I really enjoyed what I did, and I enjoyed the people I worked with. And so that was going to be the hardest thing, you know, to let go. But I realized that at some point you got to step aside. And, you know, I grew tired of, you know, the constant fight, you know, to get something done. It just seems like things always had to boil over to get more and more process. And it's becomes frustrating after a while.
Well, what would be the alternative?
Well, you just got to have the energy to commit to do it, because that's part of the job. But I kind of lost it, that edge, you know, that desire to. So that told me I had to step aside and let someone else come in.
You know? But 20 years is a long time. When you came here, did you think it was going to be 5-year stint, or did you know? Or
well, I've been here 20 years, but I've been doing this for 43. So I started out when I was 24 years old. And so, it, you know, you as I would tell anybody, they asked me if I had a master's degree, and I said I do. It's a master's in hard knocks. You learn things through, you know, the process as you grow. And I think that coming here, I never expected, you know, to last the 20 years. But it just turned out it happened. So.
And at what point did you say, well, you know, this is going to be my last job?
Well, it was a couple years ago when I knew that I was being recruited for another job, and I just said, no, not going there.
But so 43 years, maybe. Some of the changes in terms of governing cities, I would be, you know, I know that's a huge question, but maybe just in terms of technology, how has that enhanced city management?
Well, on the one hand, it's enhanced it and improved it considerably, but on the other hand, it creates its own sets of challenges. You know, the whole creation of records and things like that, and the way you'd conduct business by email, you know, when you get these novels that people are writing in their email, and it's like the answer is yes or no. You don't have the time because you get just bombarded day in and day out by, you know, information, and you have to kind of sort through it all. Where it wasn't like that when I started my career.
So technology, it generates more information, but it also allows you to sift through it?
Creates a lot of noise. You know, there are some tools that make your work a lot easier, but it also can generate a lot of noise that you got to sort through because you're getting too much information. You're not really focusing down on what the core issue is and looking at what you really need to look at, because you've got all these other issues floating around and coming at you.
Well, what would be an example?
Oh, I think a good example would just be you're trying to solve, let's say, a particular capital project. You're trying to focus on it. And that while you're focusing on that, you've got issues coming at you from all directions that you've got to kind of sort through, but you can't lose sight of that objective that you're trying to accomplish. That's one of the things that we brought on board in 2008 was the strategic planning, and started thinking, you know, where we could make sure that certain issues we stay focused on and we don't lose track of them.
Okay, so one thing I I'll cop to covering the city for 6 years for the Peninsula Daily News. And during that time, I would hear something come up that the city needed some, and I don't have a specific example, but something we needed funding for. And I'd be at the meeting and, well, you know, how are we can't pay for this. And then a month later, well, you know, you found the money somewhere. So how did that work? Were you just kind of, did you have magic fingers? Or
No. You just adjust priorities because you got a certain income that comes in that you project. And if that income is coming in at a higher level than you projected, or you have certain things that are not going forward that you could substitute or supplant, then you basically move things around. And it's a dynamic. There's never really anything in terms of what I call a fixed agenda that just stays static. It's always in a state of kind of this flux. And that's part of what you do as a manager, is you're trying to pull all that together and keep it on course while keeping your eye on the objectives.
And how did you manage all this information coming at you? Was it technological, or is that where your brain is wired, or how?
For me, it was just the way my brain's wired. And that's why nobody will play Monopoly with me, because I'm a strategist. You know, I'll look at something, but I can also, I try not to get weighed down by the detail, but I have to keep track of the detail. And so I would notice something was missing, and then everybody would say, well, no, it's not. And I said, well, yeah, it is, and go back and look. And then they'd come back and, yeah, it was missing. But you also, you have to stay ahead of everybody else. And so you're always out there in front of everybody. And that's where a lot of people think that you're not paying attention, but you really are, because you're out ahead of everybody. And that's part of your job, too.
And also, you can't please everybody, because I know you got a lot of criticism for things that you've done or not done. You're kind of like a, what's the word, target for a lot of things.
Yeah, you become a target because that's what people think, that you've got all this power that you've accumulated or amassing, but you're not as much in control as people want to think that you are. I mean, you're really managing a process, and you're managing people, and you're managing, you know, data input and information, you know, all day long. And so you got to keep track of it. And then you basically listen, and you try to pay attention to what people are saying and what the issues are, because sometimes they'll articulate something, but what they're really saying is something totally different, and you got to kind of sort through that.
But you essentially worked for the council.
No, I work for the community.
You work for the community.
Yeah.
Okay, so how's that set up?
I report to the consul. Uh-huh. As a manager, you would report to the consul, but you're really an independent entity working for the on behalf of the community.
Okay, so I kind of know this story, but I wasn't here when you started, and my understanding was that the council at the time didn't much like the strong mayor system, and they changed the system because they wanted a city manager, and the interpretation was that they wanted a city manager they could control, and then you got here and you couldn't be controlled. Is that kind of an oversimplification? Or
no, that's pretty accurate.
So how'd that unfold?
Well, I've been a first manager before, and so I understand the process of change. When you go from, a legislative body running things to an administration that's in charge. And I think they just underestimated me. They didn't know. The problem is nobody knew what a manager actually did and what a manager actually does. As I, pointed out in some of the articles I wrote, it took me probably over 20 years before my parents stopped introducing me as a city planner. And I still I would have people here in the community refer to me or introduce me as a city planner. And I was like, no, I'm not a planner. I'm a manager. So
and in terms of the council, we have one race this year that was unopposed, and also there was a race 2 years ago that was unopposed. So you basically had a person who has never held office being elected by acclamation. So why is it that people don't want to run for the city council?
I think it's the commitment of time that it takes. There's a lot of extracurricular activities that council members have to commit to in terms of the committee structures. With the way the Washington is structured, is you've got all these other countywide programs that council members are appointed to be part of, and to try to do that and still maintain, if you're working full time, that's a major commitment and challenge of time that you have to commit. And if you're not passionate about it, it's not going to be fun for you.
Hey, this is Charlie Berman, special live edition of Compass. I'm here with former city manager David Timmons. He's got that that title emblazoned on his new license plate here. So back to the council. When I got here, there was, I guess, Chris Nelson was in her early 40s, but she was by far the youngest council member. And now we're coming up, we have three or four people under 30, I believe now. Three people under 30 now?
I don't know their ages.
Right, so David, Amy, and Ariel.
Yeah, right.
So does that change the character of the council when you have someone who's a bit younger?
Well, if you change anybody, I would always say a council forms its own personality after a period of time, and it works as a group and a group dynamic. But if one member is not attending a meeting, you get another personality to that dynamic. So when you're bringing on, new people or with different perspectives, you're changing the dynamic of the council. One of the things that I admired about, them is that, this is really their generation and this is their time, and I admired them for stepping up to represent that interest, because I think it wasn't being represented well. And it's a perspective I think that they bring that's fresh, and it's really needed in the community.
But again, it takes time and commitment, and most retired people have more time.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, because the three younger young'uns on the council all have jobs and stuff that they're balancing with council duties, and the older ones, well, I'm generalizing here, obviously, because Michelle Sandoval has one person who has her own business. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of superwoman in some ways. I guess you all kind of are. I mean, because you just have these this ability to deal with mountains of information and interpret it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's a commitment of time and energy. And if you're not prepared to do it, then you kind of need to let someone else do it. And I was reaching that point where, you know, after 40 plus years, you know, I wanted to do something else. You know, I reached a point, I want to say in 2005, where I was a little frustrated, but that's when I got involved in the international programs that I got involved with. And that is probably, I would credit with one of the things for my longevity, is the ability to get away, to get involved in the international programs and come back with a different perspective and a different look on life, you know, by going to all these different countries.
Okay, so elaborate on that.
Well, ICMA stands for the International City Management Association. It's an international group of city managers, and they run a major component of what they do is international development work, you know, throughout the world. And I got involved on that in that in Croatia back in 2005. I was assigned to support three communities, Umag, Rovinj, and Poreč. And so it was funded through USAID, and what I was supposed to originally work on was government reform, but what I actually ended up working on was they had lost their high school during the war to Slovenia, and they had an old military base they wanted to convert to a new high school campus, much like what we did here at Mountain View. And so I put together a team that put together a plan for them and presented it actually to the ambassador in Croatia. I'm trying to think, it was maybe 2010. But then that opened up other opportunities for me. I got a fellowship to study local government in Japan. So I went and did that. And then I was on the international committee, which took me to all over the world, from India to China to Japan to New Zealand and throughout Europe and Eastern Europe.
So you brought your knowledge to them and you took some knowledge back from them.
Yeah, I would say I probably took a 1 gallon bucket of knowledge and they got back 5 gallons from them.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, it was a very interesting experience, you know, because you're hosted by the country that you're visiting, by the managers that are there, your counterparts and your colleagues, and they put together a program for you. This past year, in April, I went to Romania with the Romanian officials and saw some of the work that they're doing.
Is there a language barrier there? Or?
Generally is, because they're all, English is usually the common language that's spoken, but there is a barrier, you know, to language. There's also a cultural barrier as well as to try to take some of the things that they do, you just couldn't do in the United States. I mean, it's just that we don't have that kind of history or culture for some of those things.
So the Mountain View Community Center, where we are sitting, has its origins in Croatia? Is that kind of what you said, or
the
no?
Concept does, yeah.
So one of the things that at the library a couple weeks ago, they were listing all the things you were responsible for, partially responsible for, infrastructure and stuff, and it'd be kind of, you know, counterproductive to list them all. And I couldn't certainly remember them, but what of your of the projects you pushed through are you happiest about?
Well, I think the water treatment plant is probably the most complex and longest duration project that we had out there. You know, trying to negotiate a long-term permit for the water intakes and diversions. A lot of things that people don't even realize that occurred, the crosstown sewer line that we put in, starting from Gaines Street all the way across to the wastewater treatment plant, and replacing that whole infrastructure. If you go down at the end of F Street and you see the bike trail there, it goes through the valley. That was actually part of the Crosstown Sewer Line project. And I basically had them incorporate a trail easement into the easement so that we acquired so that we could put actually a trail over the pipeline when it was completed.
And are there any projects that you weren't able to get to? I
wanted to see, completion of the water mill agreement. I wanted to be able to try to challenge in terms of trying to come up with the transportation funding, some kind of sustainable funding to begin to address long-term investment in transportation needs in the community. And the housing. It was really frustrating not to be able to build on the success that I experienced back in Vermont with the Champlain Housing Trust that we had there.
Okay, well, this is Charlie Bermant with David Timmons on Compass. We are winding up a enlightening 28 minutes here, and maybe David, in the time we have left and not very much time, what words of advice do you have for John Morrow, who will succeed you?
Oh, just manage your expectations, maintain some personal boundaries and space for yourself and your family. I wish him the best of luck in taking on this role and understanding, what the role of the manager is in a community. Is it can be rewarding, but it also can be one of where it's fraught with danger.
Okay, well, David, thank you for coming in to chat from your busy schedule, or to be busy schedule. This is Charlie Bermant, KPTZ News Special Live Compass. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Alex Henley for editing this, and that is the timer that tells me I've got to shut up now. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day. So I was just staring at that all the time because
you've been listening to Compass producer Charlie Bermant interviewing recently retired Port Townsend City Manager David Timmons, which was recorded live at noon on Monday, July 15th, 2019, at the KPTZ studio. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, this is Compass Executive Producer Steve Evans.